You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly, this week on a Wednesday instead of a Thursday. But, John, it's always great to have you with us.
Oh, it's always great to be here. As I prepare to leave for a trip to California that I've long planned, I'm just breathless getting information on what our Congress is doing with the proposed $700 billion bailout.
Well, let's start with that because obviously both campaigns are focusing on that. John McCain has suspended his campaign until the legislation is done. Much more on that later in our conversation. But I know you've been talking with key members that are negotiating this on Capitol Hill. What are you hearing?
Well, right now I can say that as far as Republicans are concerned, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota, a frequent guest on your program, just got off the phone with me. She said, picture a teeter-totter, and the side that's against the bailout is the one that's it's tottering toward at this point. In other words, Republican members are going to be, by and large, against this bailout. There are too many unanswered questions. The White House is pushing too hard to get it over with. And Secretary of the Treasury Paulson, the congressman told me, did not exactly get a hero's welcome when he spoke to the Republican members behind closed doors. She pointed out his entire series of promises regarding what the bailouts would do for Bear Stearns and then for AIG and then the mortgage giants, Freddie and Fannie. And he kept coming back for more. And she basically said to him, Mr. Secretary, how can you tell us this is going to be the last one that you come ask us for? And his response was that if they did not do this at this point, you would have a lot of collapses around the country and a tremendous crisis. And in other words, we're getting the same thing over again, and members, at least on the Republican side, are starting to say no.
John, what's the alternative, just to let the markets sort themselves out, or do they have a different, more market-based rescue plan in mind?
Well, if a few businesses collapse out there, perhaps it would teach lawmakers a lesson and government a lesson not to let people who shouldn't have mortgages have it. I know that the Republican Study Committee, the conservative members of the Republican Conference, are coming up with a more free market-based plan. Congressman Thad McCotter is offering a plan. Some of the more adventurous Republicans want the market to take its course, but they also want things like repeal of the Community Reinvestment Act, which essentially forced banks to lend money to people who shouldn't be getting mortgage loans, cut the corporate income tax rate from the second highest in the world to, say, 10%, and roll back the capital gains tax. Those are some of the plans they're talking about on the other side, and I'd have to say that if the plan that Secretary Paulson and Chairman Bernanke were hawking on the Hill does not pass, they're going to have to do something else.
John, let's move to the political side of this. And John McCain, of course, announcing here on Wednesday that he will be suspending his campaign until Capitol Hill comes up with a final resolution to this crisis. Barack Obama was challenged to do the same. McCain also wanting to postpone the foreign policy debate set for Friday at the University of Mississippi. Obama late this afternoon saying he does not want the debate to be postponed, that we need to show Americans that we can handle more than one thing at the same time. And he's not going to suspend his campaign either, saying actually the idea to issue a joint statement was his idea, and then McCain jumped out there on television. What's your sense of what happened here and how it's likely to play?
Well, there's always a case of he said on this, and everyone is going to spin it his own way. I don't know where the idea originated. I will say that a lot of people on the Republican side who've been expressing some criticism of John McCain on this point are applauding him. Senator John Sununu, for example, who's locked in a tight race for re-election in New Hampshire, suspended his campaign for the week before McCain even appeared before the cameras so he could go back and work until there is a solution to the financial crisis. My own suggestion on it would be to go ahead with the debate on Friday night, but switch topics, something that, as you know, Greg, hosts of Sunday talk shows do all the time, and talk about the economy and how to bail out of this mess. It would be much more appropriate than foreign policy.
And we'll see if that, at least that is compromise enough for both campaigns. And, John, we're seeing a whole slew of new polls out. National polls seem to be tilting to Obama. And he's ahead in a lot of the battleground states, too, but those surveys are much closer. Well, what's your feeling on the pulse of this race right now?
Well, always, whenever there's economic crisis, the Democrats benefit. That's the legacy of the Great Depression and Herbert Hoover. Americans just fundamentally and instinctively will go with a Democrat when there is uncertainty in the economy.
Well, let me just jump in there, John, because, of course, Ronald Reagan benefited from a lousy economy in 1980. So is it just a backlash against the party in power, or is it that the Democrats generally benefit regardless of who's in power?
Well, again, Ronald Reagan is a rare example, as was Richard Nixon in 1968. When people sense times are bad, they go to the opposite party. But it's very significant that Democratic campaigners since the 30s have always pointed out there was a Republican president when the stock market crashed in 1929. As recently as 2004, John Kerry was likening George W. Bush to Herbert Hoover. So the idea of bashing Republicans on the economy is more durable than bashing Democrats. And I think that that is inherent in the sudden lead and recovery Barack Obama is experiencing in the polls.
John, we know that this evening President Bush will address the nation at 9 p.m. to talk about the financial mess. There's been a lot of criticism that he hasn't been out front on this, that he's let the Treasury Secretary do most of the talking. Obviously, his time left in office is limited, but how much clout can he have tonight?
Well, he's not going to have that much because members of Congress in his own party are getting very skeptical and do not like the idea that so far he's been huddling with Democratic committee chairman Barney Frank in the House and Chris Dodd in the Senate. Now, of course, one can argue they're in charge now. They're the chairman. The Republicans are the ranking minority members. But there is criticism in his own party that he hasn't been working with his own team too much, and he's been on the other side's huddle.
John, the president also this week in our last 60 seconds, his final address at an opening session of the UN General Assembly while in office. Once again, the theme was terrorism, although he did talk about the financial crisis. Your thoughts on his time up there, as well as a speech by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad that said the U.S. empire, in his words, was about to come to an end.
Pat Buchanan used to always say that if people criticized him, booed him, asked tough questions, he would still always address hostile audiences. So it is with George W. Bush, as U.S. bashing and president of the U.S. bashing has reached a crescendo under his term. He nonetheless goes back to the home team for all of that, the United Nations, and faces them all the time. I have to give him credit for his spunk and determination, and his message has been consistent. He believes in democracy, and taken a step further is John McCain's campaign to create a world organization solely of elected governments. The UN does not look that good now, and whatever George Bush's popularity, I'd match it against the United Nations any day.
John, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thanks so much, as always, for being with us.
Breathless as I am, but still brimming with fresh information from Capitol Hill, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.